If your morning starts with snap, crackle, pop, and it's not your cereal, call Joint Relief Institute for fast-lasting joint pain relief. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000.
It's entertainment news time with Dean Richards. Hi, Dean.
Digging the easy beats.
There you go. That's a
fantastic song.
And we have another award show to talk about, don't we?
Yeah, well, the NAACP Image Awards, normally, you know, they do them like every other award show, all of the awards in one night. What they've been doing this year is that they have been putting out their awards little by little all week, about five or six different categories each day of this past week, non-televised. And then the grand finale is going to be tomorrow night on BET, in which they'll give away Movie of the Year, Entertainer of the Year, the Super Big Awards. But it was a pretty super big night last night as they gave out four awards to Beyoncé. She took four of the awards for Outstanding Female Artist of the Year, Outstanding Music Video, Outstanding Hip Hop and Rap Song, and Outstanding Duo, Group, or Collaboration for the song Savage that she did with Megan Thee Stallion. So four more awards now onto Beyonce's total, gives her 21 total NAACP Image Awards. Drake won some awards last night. Doja Cat, John Baptiste, who's the musical director on Stephen Colbert's show and fantastic jazz musician, the Clark sisters in gospel music. So tomorrow night, BET, they'll give out the remainder of the NAACP Image Awards.
People have been talking about Jessica Walter, and I still remember Play Misty for Me, and she was scary in that one, wasn't she?
Yeah, any good DJ remembers Play Misty for Me. It was actually Clint Eastwood's directorial debut, that movie, but he also played a disc jockey who was being stalked by a listener on the phone. Not that that would ever happen in real life, of course.
No.
But Jessica Walter was amazing in that. She was amazing. Whole variety of television shows through the years. She probably will be best remembered always as Lucille Bluth on Arrested Development.
Right.
She was so great. And all of her castmates on Arrested Development are tweeting out really beautiful memories of her. Jason Bateman played her son, said, "I'll forever remember my time with her and watching her bring Lucille Bluth to life. She was one of a kind." Will Arnett said, "We first met in 1996. I was instantly blown away, and I was fortunate to have a front row seat to her brilliance for 25 years." And even director Ron Howard chimed in and talked about how she was a brilliant, funny, intelligent, and strong woman. Those are very strong words from one of the most talented directors out there. She is an Emmy winner. She's a Golden Globe winner. She was in all kinds of movies. She was a voice on the FX animated series Archer. She appeared in several productions on Broadway. Really, really talented actress. And died in her sleep. They did not give a cause of death at her home in New York City. She was 80 years old.
Back when Play Misty for Me came out, and I think it was 1971, something like that, the movie company was very smart. They sent Clint Eastwood out on a publicity tour, and in the major cities, they would book a room at a restaurant and invite radio personalities to do a little interview with Clint Eastwood.
Of course.
And I remember meeting him at that time, and he couldn't have been nicer. I remember he was very approachable. Have you had encounters with him over the years?
Yeah, definitely. Many times I've been able to sit down and talk with him.
Is he still that way?
Still super nice. The last time I talked to him was for the, I think it was, I'm not sure. It might have been the movie. I don't remember the name of the movie, and it doesn't really matter in the story. But I was not scheduled to talk to him. I was scheduled to talk to the rest of the cast of his movie, including Tom Hanks. So I'm sitting out. I'm like hanging out in the hallway, and you know, waiting to talk to all the other people. And they said, you know, his schedule is super tight. You know, there's no way we're going to be able to get you in to talk to him. And he's coming down the hallway now to do his interviews. And he walks and he stops with me and he goes, "Chicago, right?" And I said, yeah, Chicago. He goes, "Oh, good. Are we going to talk?" I said, "No, they told me that you don't have time." He goes, "Come with me." And he takes me in the room where we're doing the interviews.
Nice.
And he sits down and does an interview with me that his people were going crazy that, you know, because it was going to throw off his schedule. But
yeah,
it's like, any of you want to tell him, no, you can't?
He's I love his movies, too, that he directs. Always No Fat and And it's really, they're always really, really good productions. Yeah, I was a little starstruck. I think I was working at BBM FM. I think I was 21 at the time. And it was really nice to see a big star like that. And he was so nice to all of us.
And that was such a classic time for Clint Eastwood. It was, you know, right after all of his spaghetti westerns.
You're right.
that he had done, and just before Dirty Harry. That was a great time. Another time, just another quick story. You know, I'm finishing up doing some interviews at a hotel, and I'm waiting for a taxi to you know, like, pull up and take me wherever I was going to go. So, you know, I'm standing, like, right at the kind of like the valet station. I'm standing right there. And this little sports car comes zooming into the driveway. And, you know, like, everybody that was standing there got scared because it looked like the car was out of control. And, you know, we're standing there. It's like, what kind of a jerk pulls into a driveway at a hotel like this with all these people standing here? Door opens. Clint Eastwood gets out of the car. It was him driving. It's like, "Oh, hi, Mr. Eastwood." Nobody was mad anymore.
Did he call you a punk?
He did. No, that would have been fantastic.
We'll take a quick break here, and then we'll get to the apology of the day and also some good stuff to watch this weekend. Dean's Picks next.
Chicago's very own Bob Surratt starts your day. WGN.
And let's get to the apology du jour, Dean.
We love the apologies. And let's see, today's apology is wait a second here. I'm on the wrong page.
It's one of our favorite old late night hosts, isn't it?
I'm on the wrong page of my spontaneous remarks that I'm ad-libbing off the top of my head. It's Jay Leno.
Yep.
Apologizing. Apparently, people found some old tapes of him making anti-Asian jokes. And he fully copped to it. He didn't, you know, try to, you know, excuse it away. He said that he was being thoughtless, that he genuinely thought that his jokes were harmless. And he said that too many times I sided with going for the laugh when even in my heart I knew it was wrong. And that's why I'm issuing this apology. Said, "I don't consider this particular case to be another example of cancel culture, but a legitimate wrong that was done on my part." So, good for him. That's all you can do.
At least it wasn't one of those non-apology apologies.
Right. If anybody was offended.
Yeah, right. That's a form letter.
He's going to be doing a new version of the old game show, You Bet Your Life, the old Groucho game show, I guess you would call it. And
he'll be good at that.
Seems like he would be good at something like that, yeah.
We have a celebrity baby report today. Who is the proud mother in this case?
Mother,
right?
Yes. The mother is the person that we know in this case. It's Emma Stone, Academy Award winner Emma Stone. She and her husband, Dave McCary, welcomed their first child a couple of weeks ago, actually. She managed to keep it private for that long before TMZ found out about it. We don't know if it's a boy or girl, but we do know that baby and mom are both doing well. And congratulations to all of them.
What's good to watch on TV this weekend?
Well, I liked, I actually loved the new movie from Bob Odenkirk, who we know from Better Call Saul, from the old Mr. Show that he did with David Cross, and just a whole variety of projects. This one is so different for him. He is sort of a Liam Neeson meets John Wick kind of character. He's this mild-mannered guy living in the suburbs with his wife and two kids. Everybody kind of uses this guy for a doormat until he finally has enough. And in the movie, it's revealed that why he's able to get revenge on all the people that he's been abused by over the years. And it is relentless. I mean, it is a super violent movie, but this movie doesn't take itself seriously in any way, and it's constantly kind of a wink of the eye at the camera of they realize how ridiculous it is in this over the top nonstop violence, for which Odenkirk actually trained, by the way. He does most of his own fighting in this movie. It takes place. He said he was a big fan of Jackie Chan and Charles Bronson, and that's what this movie will remind you of. It's a pure popcorn movie. Don't look for any, deep meanings in this movie. Don't look for any, anything super thoughtful. And, here's a big plus. The movie is not 4 hours long, which is my new standard that I like to mention just to get people mad by me saying that. It's excessively violent, but it's kind of fun to watch. And I like seeing Bob Odenkirk doing something that we've never seen Bob Odenkirk doing before. So I gave it a Dean's List B+. It's only in theaters. It's not streaming. So if you're interested in the movie Nobody, theaters are the way to go with that. There is a movie which is a faith-based movie that you might be interested in that's called A Week Away. It's a musical, actually, about a teenager who reluctantly goes to a summer camp for a week, but when he gets there, finds friendship and a sense of belonging and even some teenage love along the way. It's kind of a nice film. Lots of nice songs in it. Also, it's on Netflix. There is an R-rated, a very hard R-rated comedy that's also on Netflix that's called Bad Trip that is about a couple of friends who go on a cross-country road trip and along the way are playing pranks and practical jokes on people along the way. Real practical jokes and real pranks on people along the way. Tiffany Haddish is in the movie. Eric Andre, Lil Rel Howery from Chicago is also in the movie. If you want something super serious this weekend, who wouldn't want to start watching a docuseries about John Wayne Gacy? Mm. It's a six-part series that tells the Gacy story through his own words, through interviews that he had done, and through the words of people who were affected by his horrendous deeds. It's a topic of probably nonstop interest, I would say, in the Chicago area. It's called John Wayne Gacy, Devil in Disguise, and that is streaming on Peacock. Here is my real pick of the week. I've already seen this, but I plan on watching it at least one more time, maybe more. And, Bob, I'll bet that you're going to like this new documentary that's called Tina.
Yeah, I've been waiting for this.
That is a deep dive into the life of Tina Turner. I'm a huge Tina Turner fan. And, I've read the books. We all know the stories about her very tumultuous life with Ike Turner and being the victim of domestic violence. This movie really takes you inside of what Tina went through, not only during that period, but before she met Ike, what happened after she left Ike and really was left with nothing, literally was left with nothing but her name, and trying to get started on a solo career, which, turned out to be tremendous for her, making her a rock icon. There's great music in it, great stories, never-before-seen interviews, photographs. I just love this documentary so much. It's called Tina. It's debuting tomorrow night on HBO and HBO Max. Can't say how much I like this too much. It's so great.
So nice, you'll have to watch it twice.
Exactly.
And we'll hear you for Anna at 1 this afternoon here.
Despite public opinion, I will be back again today.
Enjoy and have a good weekend.
You too,
Bob. Talk to you Monday.